This is the Galaxy Wars podcast with your host, The Grays. Day 10, Mission 10, The Orville, Old Wounds. Greetings and welcome to mission number 10 of the Galaxy Wars podcast. We are your host, The Grays. And this time we are going into a very new galaxy, just premiered on September 10th, 2017. We are going to the galaxy of the Orville. The first episode was directed by none other than Jon Favreau.
Big names.
Did you know going into this that he was even attached to it?
No. I didn't really know anything about the show. I mean, I thought it was obviously a parody, but no, that's a pretty big name to get on your first episode.
Absolutely. And I think if it weren't a Seth MacFarlane production, I don't think he would have got it. And going into it, like, I knew, like you said, it was going to be a parody. I knew some of the casting. I knew, like, Adrian Pilecki was going to be in it. Chad Coleman was going to be in it. Victor Garber. So, like, anybody from, like, the geek television realm.
Right.
They're going to be in it. But then I was like, it's Seth MacFarlane acting in it, and I'm not a huge live-action MacFarlane fan.
I tentatively was looking forward to this, because I don't really... Even now, like, I'm tired of Family Guy. I'm not into... Or the 10 other shows that are just like Family Guy. I'm not really into it. So I was like, whatever.
I'm over Ted.
I don't need any more Seth MacFarlane or MacFarlane in my life, but... You know,
it looks like we're getting it, and we're going to get 13 episodes of it at least.
Yeah.
And you and I spoke about it being on Fox, which is always a risky gamble for any TV show, it seems like. But he is like their golden boy. Like, everything that he touches, once it gets canceled the first time and comes back, he's going to, you know, he's their go-to. But I was doing a little research for this episode, and Fox this season, 2017, has canceled 13 shows.
Wow.
Yeah. So, wow. And it was just like shows I've never even heard of. Which is, I guess, part of the reason why, you know, they just take on... It just, I don't know, it seems like they're kind of like in reboot culture as well, where it's like, let's do Lethal Weapon, let's do all these shows, and...
Yeah, which, all those things, I'm just surprised they don't get canceled, but hey, whatever, Fox, do what you want, do what you have to do, but... Yep.
And now they're going back into superhero realm with The Gifted.
Yeah.
So...
We've talked about that, we're kind of looking forward to it, and that looks like it's going to be the best... other than property, then
I don't know. Legion's pretty good.
Yeah. Legion. But I'm saying, Legion was really good.
And Gotham, they do a pretty good job on.
Well,
Gotham.
I'm just saying, like,
oh, the Marvel universe.
Yeah,
as well.
The Marvel universe stuff that's not on Netflix or in the movie theaters. Legion was really good. Well, we talked about how bad the Inhumans.
Oh God, Inhumans was God awful.
Which I didn't watch. I'm not going to.
I don't think we're going to do an episode on that. Now, that's space, but most of it takes place in Hawaii, so I don't want to do a Hawaiian episode. So I'm sorry, Hawaii, but we're not going to do an episode about your Inhumans. So let's, before we even get into the show, let's go over some of the cast members that you're going to hear us talk about. So you're going to have Captain Ed Mercer, who's played by Seth MacFarlane, as before mentioned, Family Guy, Ted, and all his other shows. Commander Kelly Grayson, Adrian Pilecki from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., John Wick. You'll recognize her.
Yeah.
She was the bartender in John Wick.
Friday Night Lights. No. She was...
Was she the assassin?
She was the assassin that...
You know, I get them confused.
She broke the rules in the hotel.
I get them confused all the time. I've talked about this on the other podcast. Like, I always think that she's the bartender. But, you know, she's in those two. You have Penny Johnson-Gerald. Or Gerald, and she's Dr. Claire Finn, and she's from Castle in 24.
Yeah.
Scott Grimes, Lieutenant Gordon Malloy, American Dad, Steve Smith, and Family Guy.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't know him. I probably knew him from his voice, but I never seen his face.
No, he was in the Russell Crowe Robin Hood. I know the voice. I know the name.
But he played Tiny, or not Tiny Tim.
Little John?
Little John's the big guy. Who's the guy at the daggers? It's always a little guy.
No. Wee Man. Yeah, Victor Garber, who plays Admiral Halsey, and you know him from The Flash and Legends of Tomorrow and everything. He's in a ton of stuff. Peter Macon, Lieutenant Commander Burtis. Mark Jackson plays Isaac, our fun-loving android. Jay Lee, plays Lieutenant John Lamar. Halston Sage plays Alara Catan. Chad Coleman plays Clyden. And Norm MacDonald plays Yaffin. And Norm MacDonald will only be featured in 5 episodes. And this comes on every Sunday at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock on Fox. So make sure you go check it out. Our episode, the one we're talking about, our mission, is the pilot, Old Wounds, directed by Jon Favreau. What did you think? Before we even review it, what did you think of the show?
I really liked it.
Yeah,
I am surprised. Like I said, I'm not a big fan of Seth MacFarlane. I like Cosmos because it's Cosmos.
Yeah.
And I used to like Family Guy, but that was 15 years ago. And yeah. I haven't really liked much since. And I really don't like him when he's the the live action version of him.
When he's the lead, it's
yeah.
And this is something I wrote down. Like, when he's the lead in things, I can't help but picture the voice acting characters that he goes. So, like, in some of the scenes, I'm like, that's Peter.
Yeah.
Or I think of the mouse from Sing. Like, I just think of the characters that he portrays.
Well, but I also knew that this is a passion project.
Yeah.
Something he really, really wanted to do. And as much as Cosmos was a passion project for him, whenever he gets these chances, he takes them. And he did it with Family Guy. He took a chance and he became the youngest head writer, youngest head producer, youngest, all that, showrunner. And he was like 24 when he started Family Guy. So,
yeah, and that kind of spurred on the Rick and Morty's, stuff like that.
So I was looking forward to seeing what he could do when it's a passion of his and he likes it. And I really liked it.
Yeah, I was.
I'm a huge fan of it. And I'm looking forward to more of it.
Yeah, it definitely got record all episodes on my DVR.
Yeah.
So I'm excited for it. And, I wanted a new take on sci-fi.
Well, I'll say this. As much as I did like it, it made me worried about it. Because we'll get into the storyline. We'll, do our normal review. But what made me worried about it is, it is a parody of Star, almost strictly of Star Trek, but of like all genre.
Yeah, I picked up some Star Wars vibes in it, and for the next trailer, I picked up some Firefly Flies.
So, which he's a fan of all those things, and great, but the problem I had is since it's a parody, parodies are 90% of the time you see a parody, it's funny.
Yeah.
It's, supposed to be a comedy. Like all the, Wayans Brothers stupid movies. They're all parodies of something.
Yep. And they're always shitting on the thing that they're parodying.
Right. But this isn't, not that it's not funny sometimes. It is funny.
Yeah.
But it's not a strictly comedy. It's kind of like a dramedy. Mostly a drama with a little comedy thrown in. So I don't know how well that's going to do as a parody.
Yeah.
You know, I've never seen a parody that takes itself seriously.
Yeah, me either. Where, you're really going to go into, what you talked about before in the Star Trek episodes that we talked about, where it goes into, racism and, and stuff like that, and slavery. And where this, where's it going to go into? Growing a tree? Arbor Day?
Yeah.
I mean, this one really just discusses divorce. So maybe this has some underlying tones to breakups and how to handle them.
But I mean,
reconciliation.
Like I said, I really liked it.
Yeah, me too.
It is. We'll get into reasons why I liked it, but I'm a big fan now, and I'm worried that there won't be a ton of fans out there, because they will say, they will hear, oh, it's a parody of something, and it is a parody, and you could see it, but then when you go, well, it's a parody that takes itself really seriously, it's trying to be better than its, than its part, so.
Yeah, and how can your passion project be a parody? You know what I mean? Where your whole, his whole life is based on satire. Everything is pop culture referenced and satirical. Where this is his life. This is what he grew up watching. This is what he always liked. Why can't it be proper?
I don't know what he could have changed. Because maybe it's not parody. Maybe I should stop saying as much, but it's tropes. He used all the tropes.
It's a comedy take on the space genre. Yeah,
maybe that's it. Maybe that's where we go with it. Maybe hopefully other people go that way because, like I said, it was fun to watch. It was different. It was newish, but it had this classic sci-fi feel.
Yeah, and you think with a parody project or whatever, a passion project, what we're talking about, you would think that at the end of the day, you want to be respected in the community that you're passionate about.
Right.
So if this flops, do the likes of George Lucas and, the people that are doing Star Trek Discovery and Josh Whedon's and like that, are they going to be like, you know, you tried, you can give them the old college try, or they're going to be like, don't ever step into our genre anymore. Like, you're a fan. This is why fans don't make series. Because at some parts, like, I don't want this to turn into every 2 minutes we have to have a forced fart joke.
Well, that's what I was thinking, too. Or does this turn into the crossover that, you know, into the college frat boy stuff that brought... that people, you know, Family Guy brings in. Is that like, okay, well, I like Ted, I like Family Guy, I like, you know, all his other
American Dad. Ways to Die in the West, or a million ways to die in the West.
I like that fart jokes and beer drinking and all that crazy, you know. Maybe that brings those people into science fiction.
But do we really want bro Trekkies? I don't. Brovilles? I don't want them. I don't want Brovilles. I think that's an alien race that I am going to terminate.
But, I mean, we have to make sacrifices if it keeps the show on the air.
Yeah.
And I get a season two out of something. I don't have to hang out with Brovilles. I don't.
Yeah, no, I will definitely not Broville anywhere.
Although, you know, I am going to a college bar later. But.
You'll be Brovilling out. Just don't ask them if they watch The Orville. Mm. And I'm sure you'll get the what? The popcorn was a documentary about Orville Redenbacher.
That new Seth MacFarlane show.
The Space Family Guy. I love it. It's my favorite. All right, so let's get right into the episode. It's set in Earth, obviously, in 2418, New York City, a very futuristic look in New York City.
Looked great.
With the Brooklyn Bridge still there.
Brooklyn Bridge, Statue of Liberty was there.
Perfect. Pristine.
And this is a testament to... his pool, I guess, but man, it looked really good. Yeah. All the CGI. And
they invested a lot of money in this series.
Yeah,
and you can just tell from the trailers for the future, like the prosthetics on the creatures, the worlds that we're going to.
Yeah, we'll get to all the aliens, but it just looked really seamless, really good.
Yeah,
I just from the first opening shot before he gets to his, I was like, wow, the things that are flying and this.
Like the little car pod ships.
Yeah.
They're like Mini Coopers in space. They're just very tiny, compact, one-person vehicles pulling up to the house. And like you said, before he pulls up to his house, immediately the first thing I got, and I'm going to try and point out my Easter eggs as far as the parodies and the takes that he gets, Jetsons.
Yeah.
It's a very George Jetson-like entrance. You know, the door opens. Ship open, like, you know, he walks in.
I was trying to place the pod car, and that is exactly it. Like, it is just George Jetson all the way with that. So I guess you're right. We're starting early with his...
with his Easter eggs.
His homages or homages.
Whatever
you want to say. Yeah.
Even the first part could even be a homage to Futurama.
Yeah.
Where it's all a futuristic city and the cars are flying over and it's normally New York City. So, I mean,
well,
I feel like he's just
taking from... I think we're going to beat this to death, but he really paid attention to everything that came before this.
Yep.
And you could tell through the whole thing, he was inspired by everything and he used it all.
Yeah, from the lingo to the wardrobe to the creatures to the ships, he really paid really good detail to this. So this might turn the tables for my opinion on Seth MacFarlane.
You know, we'll Cosmos was...
Cosmos was really good.
Yeah.
Anything with...
Well, he's a producer.
Yeah, anything with Neil deGrasse Tyson is something to get behind. But he walks into his apartment. Cool little apartment, right? I like it.
Yeah.
It's kind of like a... You know, I just flew in from Europe, so I'm talking flats now. So it's a space flat. And he walks into it. Like, he creeps on the door. And I was like, oh, maybe they're a home intruder. Nope. It's his wife sleeping with a blue alien creature who ejaculates out of his eyes.
Yep. Yeah.
that's I said another word on my notes, but
yeah,
we might have children listening to this.
A three-letter word.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking. That's where we're going to get the little Seth MacFarlane Family Guy jabs into this. Like, he cannot help himself to a certain point.
The pushing the FCC envelope where he's... And it's just like...
Because what do you think the FCC says? Like,
who knows
what he... I mean, it's just a guy that's shooting blue stuff out of his face.
He could just be nervous and that's sweat. You know, you just got caught sleeping with some guy's wife. You know, it's a dangerous mission. I don't know, but if I were Adrian Pilecki, I would have picked somebody a little better than that blue-looking creature because it looked like Abe Sapien from Hellboy. Just they, and we got Papa Smurf reference in there. That was a nice little Papa Smurf reference. But so the fluids come out of his eyes, and then it stops. And she's like, "Oh, come back, come back. I'm sorry, Ed." And 24-19 happens 1 year later.
Yeah.
And we first meet Admiral Halsey, calls Ed Mercer. I'm going to call him Mercer. So calls Mercer into the office and says, "You're not really a good leader. You're not inspiring. But hey, we have a mission for you. And we want you to navigate or command the USS Orville." I wonder where they got the name from. Do you think he's just at home putting in popcorn into the microwave?
And he's I don't know. I was trying to think, what's his name?
Because like in Star Trek, it's Enterprise, Discovery, Voyager, the Orville.
I think that I think that's on purpose. It's just such a tone deaf kind of dumb name.
Well, what about this here? Now I'm thinking about it. So it's his first pilot mission as Seth MacFarlane as captain. Orville Wright.
Well, he does. If you look on his desk, he has the Kitty Hawk.
So
not the Kitty Hawk, the plane.
The
Orville.
Where it took off in Kitty Hawk.
Yeah, yeah. So, whatever the plane is, he has a little model of it sitting on his desk.
So we're just going to find Wright Brothers.
Well, yeah, why not?
Easter eggs in here, too. Man, that could be a whole we can do a weekly.
We are watching the first episode without watching. The second episode is out right now, but we haven't.
It comes out tomorrow.
We're coming at the 10th. Well,
no, I don't know. The 10th was the first episode, and the second one, Sunday.
It is tomorrow.
Yeah, so tomorrow, the 17th. So I'm watching it. I'm going to try and watch
it
live.
So who knows what we're going to... I know the guy that directs it is... we're kind of stretching here too, but going off topic. But it was Tom Paris is the director of the next episode.
Okay.
The guy that was from... That was in the Star Trek episode.
Okay. Okay.
Lieutenant Tom Paris, but his name is Robert Duncan McNeil.
Yes, the very Irish.
Yeah, Jonathan Frakes directs an episode. Brandon Braga is going to be directing an episode. So
does Seth MacFarlane direct an episode?
No, he's just a producer.
Well, it's good.
Yeah,
you know,
it is good.
Sometimes we've talked about it with the Jonathan Frakes, where it's a really good. Some people can get behind the lens and it's really, really good.
Right.
And some people can get behind the lens and it's really, really bad because they're like they just want I want more action scene for my character, and it gets really. Really testy. So, I'm looking forward to the series in general, but we will preface this episode with, one, there's going to be a lot of spoilers if you haven't seen the pilot because we're reviewing the pilot, but two, a lot happened in this episode. Like, there's a lot that happened in this episode.
Yeah, a huge amount of world building, or universe building in this case, or galaxy building. And without not a lot of work, I mean, 145, 50-minute episode, and it wasn't like... They didn't sit and hold your hand through it all. They just threw it at you and said, we're going to this planet or we're going to this galaxy, this quadrant.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure we encountered like five different alien species.
Yeah.
Within one episode, which is crazy, on two separate planets.
Yeah, and it wasn't...
And we got a lot of space.
They didn't bog you down by giving you exposition on top of exposition about them. It was just like... You're this guy, you're this guy, you're this type of plant, and...
And I kind of like that, because he does, and we'll get to it, he does the roll call. Like, this is who you are, these are your powers. It's like getting a baseball card to see
their
stats. And
it made a lot of sense, because he's a new captain on a ship, and he went to see his... And that right there was a good way to do it without being too clunky and getting in the way of the show.
Yeah, because you don't know if this is going to get a back nine.
Right.
This could just be a 13-week thing, kind of like Firefly, where it's successful, it's got a cult following... Boom, canceled.
Yeah.
And we want more. We want a movie. I don't know if we get an Orville movie, but who knows? So
he might do it.
He might.
He's at a point where he's got enough money where he could, he's not going to produce it alone, but if he got that million ways or a thousand ways to die in the West produced, he can get an Orville movie produced.
And if he landed Favreau for the pilot, and Favreau's a hot name right now, all the Disney stuff that he's doing, he did the Iron Man stuff, so... He's definitely...
Yeah, that was... that's what I thought was crazy.
Yeah, it's another person behind the camera.
That's a big name to get on your pilot episode of something. Yep. And that's him throwing his weight around.
Yeah.
Well, it's not throwing his weight around. It's him asking his friends for a favor. It's basically what he's doing.
And you can think about, Favreau's credited for the beginning of the Marvel Universe.
And I thought he was going to ride it out. But, he actually left to go do other things.
Yeah. And he made the best live-action Disney movie, in my mind, with The Jungle Book.
Yeah.
And he's going to do The Jungle Book 2. He's going to do The Lion King. he's I can't say enough about Jon Favreau. He's come extremely long way from his Ben Affleck Daredevil days.
Oh yeah, where he played Happy.
Yeah, or he played Foggy.
Foggy.
Played Happy. He plays a one person. He's like Prince.
He was also in Friends, wasn't he?
Yeah, Friends. And he was in Swingers. I think he directed Swingers. I think that was his first.
Yeah, I think that's where he started.
This isn't a Jon Favreau podcast, so we're going to move on. So Mercer's not
have to save that for your other podcast.
We'll do crossover. Mercer is not a very good inspiring leader. He's put on notice about it, and he says, this is it, you know. The last year, you've kind of went off the radar. We thought that you were going to be ship commander or ship captain by 40.
Right.
And then last year, you kind of brought your home life into your work life. You got, I think he was cited for DUI, right?
Yeah. Well, he came to work on a hangover.
Yeah, hungover.
This is, so I'm talking about kind of this, like, the subtle world building. It's like, it leaves you asking a lot of questions, like, why didn't, they're very lax about this, I don't even know what their organization's called. It's like, I should know. It's the United Federation of something, but anyway, it's the federation that controls everything. But yeah, like, we'll find out with his pilot and everything, they're kind of lax.
No court-martialing, you're just put on a desk.
Yeah.
And that's really what it is. It's just, you know, you've done this, you're going to slap on the wrist, then we'll move on. So he gets one last chance, Mercer. And he says, the Admiral says, you're going to get to Orville. This is your chance, but you need a helmsman. You need a first officer. And then the rest of the ship is crew. It's good. And they're all there.
Yeah, you already got a crew. Good working crew.
Yeah, and he says, you know what? This is Mercer's talking. He says, I have a helmsman. He's the best driver I know. I want Malloy. And we find Malloy in one of my favorite things ever that I want to build in my apartment, the environmental simulator, where he's fighting ogres.
He's fighting
he's my favorite character.
The ogre?
Justin the Ogre. He appears in two episodes, Justin the Ogre. And I love Justin.
Yeah, the guy was great. And here's my 10-cent word, the juxtaposition between his voice and his...
He's like, hey guys, I'm very excited for today. Like, I love meeting Malloy's friends. I immediately thought it was Jonah Hill.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
I know, but I don't know who it was.
Phil Cooper, I think that was his name. Yeah. He's in two episodes. He was fantastic. I want more of Justin.
I'm a big fan of him. He's my... of this, he's my... what's it called? From Doctor Who. I forgot his name. The white guy.
Oh, Nordahl.
Yeah, Nordahl.
Yeah, he's your favorite character that you want to bring on every episode.
Yeah.
I would love Justin to be a crew member. If he can gain artificial life, like you were saying in Voyager? Where the Doctor gains artificial life, spoilers, from the 90s. If he can gain artificial life, and I would love it.
Work it out.
If he can become like the Vision, I'm ready. I'm completely ready. But at that moment, he's my favorite. Malloy beheads him, and he's dead for the time being. Obviously, it's a computer graphic, and he'll be back in the simulator. But, you know, this is where I wrote, these are great graphics for Fox. Like, just the outside world, the inside world, the ship. We see the deck. It's an awesome space shot.
I'm ahead a little bit, but one of the cool shots is when they're pulling out a dock, which we'll get. We're close to that, but when they're pulling out of the space
with
dock.
The arm.
Yeah, but it's you see the bridge has a moon roof or a sunroof, has a big window.
Yeah.
And when they're pulling out of the dock, you can look into the window and you see people moving around through the, I think that was a pretty cool shot.
Yeah, so they did do it.
There's a lot of good, I thought graphics wise, you can't complain about anything.
For a pilot, it was very impressive.
Right.
I didn't lose touch. I didn't look at time. I was grabbed. Like, it had me grabbed. I was ready to go. So, obviously, we know that Malloy's going to go on with Mercer. We find out a little more about Mercer and Malloy's relationship. And we also find out that there's 3,000 ships in the fleet.
Yep.
And that when they're going to find out, you know, where Ed Mercer's ship is, they're like, oh, is it that one? Is it that one? And they find the Orville. I think the Orville ship's really cool with a clean, kind of crisp design.
Yeah.
They're talking about putting a rainbow unicorn on it with some flames. Which brings up a question for me. Why are they only silver? Can't you put a rainbow unicorn on it?
I don't know. Uniformity, I guess. Like, so they know it's you, but...
Okay.
I don't know.
spice it up a little bit. Jeez. Yeah. You're in space. Make it yellow.
What are the chances that you're going to run into? I'm sure there's some futuristic paint where you could just hit a switch and turn the paint off or something.
Like a cap. There's got to be a cloaking agent. Yeah. So you could obviously have a paint agent where you're like, I don't know.
But you know what? I say that.
Got 20-inch rims on it.
In this and every other sci-fi show I've watched, they're still using zippers and buckles.
Yeah.
You ever notice that? That bothers me.
Well, you know, they're not as advanced in the future, you know, in space. Because
for
them
to create a new thing, they'd have to create a new thing. Yep. So.
Could you imagine if they made like a whole new way of using clothes, like fastening your clothes, and that's what hits? And it's like the Ziploc bag where you like just press it together, and that's how you bind your pants, just on the sides and the hips. I don't know. I'm not in it. So 3,000 ships in the fleet, and Gordon, in my mind, and we find out that he has some problems. He's a smart ass. He likes to get in trouble.
I liked it. He might be my favorite character on the show.
Okay.
Yeah, I really liked him.
Yeah. I don't take Justin aside. I did like Malloy.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I like the dynamic between him and another character. Yeah, we'll get to in a little bit. But
that's I actually have that in my notes. That's my. That's the thing I'm most looking forward to watching in the future.
The team up between two characters. Yeah, me too. And then again, the ship is super cool, super crisp, clean. It's a great ship to navigate. I'd certainly want to be the captain.
And
of
they're
the Orville.
They're talking about how it's not a heavy destroyer, this or that.
I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it looks pretty.
Somebody gives me a speedboat, I'm going to be excited to have it. You know, if I've never had a speedboat, you give me a speedboat, that could change my life. So it can change Ed Mercer's life too. And then we get a shot of the crew. Very large, very diverse crew. Very organized crew. They didn't look like... I was expecting him to walk into, like, the Dangerous Minds classroom.
Yeah.
Where kids are just, like, paying it. Like, the...
Well, that's kind of how... I mean, they never said that. The Admiral never said, this is the replacements or this, some Jagaloons. But
you kind of knew that you were getting the bottom of the barrel.
Well, yeah, you thought that was going to happen, but... Turns out they're just a normal crew, and the captain's the worst that could happen to this crew.
And there's some really cool aliens that we see. We see our chief of security, who's only 23, and she's a Selenian.
Yeah.
Super strength, super speed. We see some superpowers demonstrated in this episode. We meet John Lamar, who's our navigator. That's Jay Lee from before. We meet, what's his name, Burkus?
Bortus.
We meet Bortus.
He's,
and he's an Okayan?
Yeah, and they only have one...
One sex. They're just males.
Yeah, just males.
It's like a boys' school on that planet.
I don't know how reproduction happens, but...
Oh, we did preview for the next episode.
I didn't watch it.
Oh, you find out how there's reproduction.
Well, that's... what's his name from Walking Dead's probably going to be in that one, because he plays Bortus's mate.
Yeah. So there's a... There's some fun mating in the next episode. And then we meet Dr. Finn, who has an awesome resume.
Yeah.
She's like a psychologist. You know, she's a general practitioner, a surgeon. She does everything.
Cool future science fiction-y things that she does, like holographic surgery and nanosurgery and stuff like that. So whatever any of that means.
There's some Family Guy-esque ball humor.
Yeah.
For a good back and forth between Finn and Ed Mercer. And then we meet Isaac, who's from Kayon 1, and who is legendarily racist.
Yeah.
He is the Hitler of droids.
Yeah. Well, apparently his planet's very xenophobic. And not even xenophobic, because they travel out there, but apparently they just hate other, or think they're better.
Yeah, and this is part one of my Star Wars... Easter eggs. He's C-3PO.
Yeah.
He talks just like C-3PO. He's not the gold, obviously, but he kind of looks like C-3PO and Forlom from Star Wars. So I'm thinking
that's what I was trying to figure out, because he has like a... He looks like he's wearing a suit.
Yeah.
So I don't know if he's an android, but he looks like an android.
Well, maybe.
His face... They could reveal it to be a helmet or something, but he does look like he's got an android's body.
I'm thinking C-3PO kind of Cyberman crossover.
Yeah, that's what he does look like.
It's cool design.
I liked him.
Yeah, he's going to be... I mean, you see that with the success of K2SO and Rogue One.
Right.
That the droids and the androids are going to be they're going to be very popular. So you're going to get your one-liners from that. I'm thinking... Thinking our Isaac is going to be like Stewie from Family Guy. where you're going to get the one-liners, you're going to get like little barbs at other staff members because he's, or Drax from
yeah, like I was thinking Guardians. Kind of like a Drax thing where
everything's metaphor, no, everything's literal as opposed to metaphorical. Yeah.
And they have to which is good because now they explain things to him, and when yeah. they explain things to him, they explain things to us. So he's yeah. basically the audience. That's yeah. kind of what I was thinking. Like,
yeah, I like that. I like that point. I didn't see that, but I do see it now. I like it. And then this is my team up. I hope it's the same as yours. Molloy and Lamar.
Yeah.
Their team may be my favorite dynamic in general.
And they're real, like, they're real flat. Like, they don't, they're yeah. just two chill dudes just doing their work.
Yeah, like, I just wanted to introduce myself. No, you want to know if I'm a jerk. Because I'm a straight up jerk. All right, cool. So this is going to be good. And then they're on their way. Yeah. And, you know, Lamar, like, if I'm meeting a new boss or anything, I wanted to, like, safety registration or regulations and stuff. He's like, can we have soda on the deck? Like, the last captain let us have soda on the deck. And that's a great... I like Lamar. He's going to be one of my favorites. And then Molloy, again, we find out he's been in a lot of trouble.
Yeah, he's like...
Well, he was on desk duty.
Right.
Because for he...
showboating and... Well, we find out he crashed
a... Yeah, losing a lot of squash.
Yeah.
Antique space squash. Yeah. That's a lot of dead squash, but, you know...
He reminds me of, like, I guess everybody fills in a trope, gets in their place, but he's like the hot shot pilot, like your Top Gun type of pilot.
Oh, no. Are we going to get a Tom Cruise crossover in this? He was already in one of the commercials I watched on demand, so I hope not. But who would he, like, what sci-fi pilot does he, is he a Malcolm Reynolds? Was he a pilot or was he just the captain?
No, he was the captain.
Wash was
the pilot.
So is he a Wash?
He might be kind of like a Wash because Wash wasn't like a rule follower.
Or Han Solo?
Han Solo.
Yeah, I think it's a Han Solo vibe.
Yeah. That would have been Han Solo when he was part of the Republic. You know,
yeah, when he was his Republic doing years. All the smuggling.
Yeah.
When he was working with Lando. All right. Well...
He does give me a strong Han Solo vibe when you think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, he's very debonair, and he's like, I'm the guy. You know, I do this, I do that. But everyone wants to find out who the first officer is going to be on the ship. Because there is no first officer. They're saying it's going to open up. It's all going to happen. We get in between there. We find out that there's going to be a mission where it's a science supply drop-off to Epsilon 1.
Right.
And we get a very... This is my point that I want to stress to everybody. The score is very spacey.
Yeah.
From the beginning to the middle all the way to the end, it's a very spacey score.
Yeah, I don't know who does it, but it's definitely is pushing the score like what's his name from that does all of Star Trek?
Oh, John Williams?
Yeah. It's not as grand as John Williams, but it's
TV John Williams.
Yeah,
this is Johnny Will. I mean, this is casual John. But there's a spacey score. We find out the mission supply drop off, and the first officer finally gets appointed.
Yep.
And it's Grayson, Kelly Grayson, the ex-wife to Ed Mercer, the one who slept with Papa Smurf. And this is where, this is the frustrating part for me. This is where it began, the divorce humor.
Yeah.
I felt like it was kind of in your face. We know they were divorced, but. The crew finally figured out through Molloy that it was all their divorces is what happening, but everybody knows about it. The doctors, the
this
Krill.
Is what was kind of weird is, like I said, it's good, but they push this divorce humor, and everyone ignores it like it's not happening.
Yeah.
Like they're in their own little anywhere the two of them go, he pushes it on her.
Yeah,
talks about it. And everybody around them, not like, just completely ignores it. Like,
yep. Yeah, because why get involved?
Right.
That's the messiest situation you can get involved
in. So it's kind of weird. Like, they're playing, like, the two straight.
Yeah.
They're, like, the two straight people, you know, the comedy, and everybody else is just going along in their own world. So it was weird, but... That's where the humor is going to be. And it wasn't like it was unfunny. It was just divorce humor.
Whatever. Yeah, but for me, it was just like every other scene or every time Seth MacFarlane spoke, it was, oh, well, I'm going through a divorce.
Right.
Or I'd go back and tell myself not to get married. Or how do you feel about divorce? And it was like, it was constantly happening to the point that I'm like, okay, when this was being written, was Seth MacFarlane going through a breakup? Now, I know a few years ago, maybe his last recent relationship was with Amelia Clark.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hey, that's what money will get you, and and golden pipes. But maybe this was a jab at her because they broke up. Maybe she cheated on him. Who knows?
To write a whole entire TV show based around it is...
That's pretty petty.
Yeah.
I'm kind of hoping that this doesn't taper into the whole thing, but I can see this kind of turning into reconciliation between the two of them because they're working together. And
well, we kind of see that. Yeah, well, I mean, we're jumping.
But we find out that Grayson is on the Orville because, one, she matches up perfectly with Mercer, and two, the Admiral was like, you need to be professional. This is going to see... It's essentially a test. Like, I want to know if you can handle the situation. And we figure out a little bit more, and there's some speculation at the end, for me at least, and maybe I missed something, but she only says, like, listen, I will be here until... If you feel uncomfortable, right. Ed, I will be here until another position opens, and I'll get out.
Right.
This is a stepping stone. She wants to be bigger in the fleet, so she'll start with the small guppies and she'll work her way up to the sharks.
That's what she makes you feel like. I just need to take a job somewhere and make sure I get my name out there.
Yep.
So,
but all while this is going on, when we find out that, you know, Grayson has been appointed, Ed runs through this jello looking gelatinous looking goo man, like not even goo, it's like a puddle of tapioca pudding, and it's Norm MacDonald's character. He's just a gelatinous goo thing.
Yeah, Yoffit.
Yoffit, and I love it. And I wish your name was like Yoplay. Yoplay yogurt. But we find out that he's in it. And then Grayson requested the assignment. Ed is not for one bit. And then Grayson pretty much just says, Kelly just says, I want atonement. Like, I really messed up. I get it. I can't say I'm sorry anymore. You won't accept it. But there's got to be, I want to do something for you. But this is like a more of, like we said, this is I'll scratch your back if you scratch my back. I'll be here to help you through the situation while getting my name on up there. So, you know, are her feelings genuine? Not to me.
It doesn't seem like it, no.
No, she seems more of like, I'll step on whoever I need to get to the top. And it, even if it's my ex-husband, I'll do it. And we find out that the alien, the blue alien's name is Julio. Because they have this big blowout fight saying where Kelly's like, you kept working, I didn't see you. And it's that age-old thing. That's the justification for cheating in most situations where it's like, you weren't here, you were always working. I needed somebody and Julio was there. And it's either Julio or Derek, and we got both of those characters in this show. The question I want to pose to you, would you ever be on a ship in space with an ex-girlfriend?
No.
I don't think I could do it.
No.
You know that scene in Guardians 2 where Taserface puts the Yondu backers out into space?
Yeah.
I would do it to my exes. Both. I've had two significant exes, both of them in space. Just, see ya.
Well, the thing is like... They don't make this. I'm trying to remember the name of what they gave it, but they don't make this federation of things seem that cutthroat.
No,
like it's going to happen.
Yeah,
like.
But you have 3,000 ships, and your ex-wife is on your ship a year later, right after you get the promotion. Like everything kind of lines up. So that's where I'm thinking there's like some colluding on the inside. Maybe this is trying to get him out of the federation. It's either make or break for Ed at this point. Like. If you can't work with your ex-wife and you go crazy and you resign, your ex-wife can take over the ship. So this is her getting her name out there. She's just training.
Yeah. Well, that's it's not so cutthroat that you can't just hang out on your ship as a first officer for, a little bit longer.
Yeah, and I'm sure you make a pretty good living off of being a first officer.
I guess, sure.
I mean, I saw those pads as what Ed was doing. Maybe he was a first officer, but that was a pretty cool pad.
Yeah, I don't know, yeah. Well, apparently he wasn't excelling. He wasn't getting that far, so.
I don't know. If you had a wife like Adrian Pilecki and you have a space car and a nice little pad, I'd be okay with it. But, all right, it is what it is.
Him being a kind of a loser is a very Captain Kirk-y type of thing, too. Yeah. Because Captain Kirk was supposed to go further than everybody else, but he just broke all the rules and was just an asshole, so.
So do you think that he becomes the kind of like the ladies' man that Captain Kirk was?
Well, I mean, there's got to be an episode where something happens.
I can't see it.
No.
He doesn't strike me as a sex symbol. No. He just strikes me as, like, I don't know, a nerdy guy who gets lucky with the ladies.
But it's got to come up because it would make for something good to watch. Like,
yeah.
Adrian Pilecki get jealous of her character, get jealous of him. So, I mean, it's good. There's got to be an episode where that happens, but...
Human or alien?
Alien.
Alien, I'm thinking too. When do we get a musical episode? You know we're going to get one.
I don't know. Well,
there's got to be.
I can't say I don't know because we actually have seen a few
yeah.
science fiction musicals.
And you know, nobody can hear you scream in space, but they can sure as hell hear you sing. So I'm
oh,
thinking.
No, and he loves musicals. Yeah, what am I thinking?
Yeah, that's think his, about that's it. His thing, that's yeah. his whole thing. Show tunes and everything. Like, the most recent thing I've seen him in was that movie Sing. And he plays it's the animated American Idol movie.
Oh, okay.
And he plays a mouse. And he's got. I thought it was Buble, and it was Seth MacFarlane. I will say this: he does have a great voice
for not really putting effort into it. Yeah. Like I don't know what he must have did musical theater somewhere.
Yeah, he's got pipes, so I'm not going to knock the man because obviously he pulled Emilio Clarke.
Did you have you ever seen? I mean, a lot of side quests here, but have you ever seen him just talk? Like back in the day when his voice was deeper.
No.
He would just like do interviews like right when Family Guy, you know, hit the second time. And he talks in basically like his real deep, silly voice.
Yeah.
And like you hear.
Is it deep like ours or deeper?
Deeper. It's.
Oh
it's,
my God, he's Barry White.
And it's weird to hear him because all you could do is hear Stewie talking
yep.
and yeah, you know, without the accent, but
yeah, it's really like that's the thing with voice actors who go into live action. It's very hard, and you know, this is me coming from a fan, but it's very hard for me to imagine escaping people seeing you that like in that eye.
Yeah,
because that's what like I saw Stewie, I saw Peter, I saw the characters. Like I think he does Brian too.
Yeah,
like I saw them when at certain lines, I was like, oh, that's a Stewie line. That's
yeah,
a Peter
that's how
line.
They would deliver it in yeah. this cartoon. But yeah, well, and that's the thing is not a lot of people get a chance to rebound out of voice work.
Yeah, and it's like Cary Payton from Walking Dead. Like when I see him speak in Walking Dead as King Ezekiel, I can't help but to see Teen Titans Go Cyborg.
Yeah.
Or Young Justice Aqualad. It's hard for me to really see that. And when I see Tara Strong's picture,
yeah.
I immediately think Harley Quinn. That's or
well, that's
with
the thing
Kevin
is
Conroy.
Like Kevin Conroy is Batman, and even the Joker. You know, it's sometimes it's hard to separate. I mean, at this point, we've seen him again in Star Wars, but you know, Mark Hamill to a lot of people is the Joker.
Yep.
If they care to find out who's doing the voice.
He might be my favorite Joker.
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, and we've had more of a sample of him, but he's great. And
yeah.
I classify him as the Joker as well, but I mean, I can't say that on a Galaxy yeah. podcast, right? He's Luke Skywalker and will always be Luke Skywalker for me.
Well, I mean, we talked about it with Doug Jones. I can't not see all Doug Jones' characters.
Yep.
If he's not as dressed up. I don't know who Doug Jones is. And yeah. Andy Serkis, I didn't even know Andy Serkis was in the Marvel's universe.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't know who Andy Serkis was.
Yep. Yeah.
And I'm supposed to be a geek and sci-fi and all this. I don't know who Andy Serkis is, but if he's not...
Yeah, you know him
dressed
as...
Dressed up
as
a Gollum. Chip or
yeah, Gollum or Caesar. It's really tough. And now he's Ulysses Klaue, so you'll get him more... And he's... To your credit, he's had a very small role in the Marvel universe to this point.
Right. But
he just gets his
hand
cut off. Spoiling
I think it was it. You. I'm not even sure who said. He's like, oh, yeah, Andrew Serkis was all right. I'm like, I didn't even know that was him.
Yeah. But the Doug Jones one is a great point, too. Like, I've seen one movie that I think he's
right. And he then he got dressed up in it.
Yeah. So, I don't know. But, so, there's an issue we find out. Or, no, I want to go back to this. I wrote this down. There's an exchange between Malloy and Kelly. Where Malloy honors the bro stance of bros before hoes. And she's like, you know, you put in a good word for me out there, right? And he's like, oh, yeah, yeah. Meanwhile, he told the whole crew she's a cold-hearted bitch. So he's definitely bros before hoes because... And he says this, you know, without Ed, I'd still be at the desk. I probably would never be behind a Federation
right.
ship. So, you know, this is a retribution kind of a swan song for more than one members on the ship too.
Yeah.
Because you do have that. It's kind of like the Bad News Bears. You got the best pilot, but he's got an attitude issue, and he's kind of a Han Solo type person where he's always a risk taker, gets you in a lot of trouble. You have the new captain. You have the 23-year-old security officer.
He's trying to prove that she belongs.
Yeah, you have the racist droid. You got the Yoplait yogurt man. So you do have a group of ragtag, I don't know.
Yeah, well,
it's tough. It's
the only reason I won't say they're ragtag is we have nothing to compare them to. Yeah, you know, but you find out like the Bad News Bears are ragtag because when you see them play other teams, they look like garbage. But you really haven't seen another ship, another crew.
Yeah.
So that's the only thing. Like, I know that's what we're supposed to think, but really haven't had anything to compare them to. So we're just.
But given their mission and the ship that they're on, they're on a small ship. They're doing science supply runs, and, you know, they're not doing
anything.
The Federation wants them as far out of action as possible. And first of all, we don't even know if there's a war going on.
Yeah. Well, somebody's got to do it.
Yeah. We know that there's a bad guy, and we'll meet the bad guy soon. But there's an issue on Epsilon 2 where Dr. Aronov comes on and is like, listen, you have to get here. We don't really need the supplies, but you need to get here. And then we go to Epsilon 2, which is awesome.
Yeah.
That planet was super cool. And it started out like you're pulling up to a doctor's office complex, but then it like really goes into like cool ass water creatures that ended up being the chief botanist.
Yeah.
Like that was a really cool. I was like, swamp mermaids? And then it was.
I thought it was going to be like a swamp thing type of deal, but like.
It was kind of like a snake and Stitch from Lilo and Stitch kind of merged. It was really.
Yeah, it was dumb. It would look great.
Even the swimming in the water, like the splashing of the water, it was really, really good for obviously being computer. But, you know, you have that. They did a really great job with the aliens, especially like the one that was looking through the microscope. His design was flawless. It was really crisp. And then you find out the temporal rays will go into a quantum bubble. And they will age things, and we've seen that used on a banana, and aged it what a month, and the
2 minutes, they took, out in the real world or a minute
in this bubble,
a month passed in the bubble,
and they took this really ripe yellow banana, and it went into a soggy
rotted and
and then they
turned black.
They sped it up to a year, and then immediately I wrote this down, but they go to, you know, this can be weaponized, and that's your threat. So they've established, not only have they...
The 23-year-old is the one that points it out.
Yeah.
Like, oh, okay, you know. And this is the first time we've actually, besides her being, you know, is looking like a little... She's tiny.
Well, she's essentially like, if you go to the NFL, she's like the Rooney Rule hire.
Yeah.
Because she's, her alien race is fast-tracked as soon as they get a job in the Federation.
Right.
So she's the Rooney Rule. She's the minority in the Federation, so they want to move her to the top. Same thing with Isaac as well. You know, they gave...
Yeah, like, they gave... It was a special...
Yeah, they're trying to have a peace treaty between them and the droids. But Ed...
But this is where, you see that she's actually...
Yeah, she holds her worth. She can pull her weight,
yeah, she's literally, figuratively.
Yeah, she's a very valuable member of this team based off of this entire episode. This is where I find out that Ed really isn't trustworthy. Like, they're like, please don't tell anybody, and he's like, yo, get to Federation and tell them that they have this quantum beam that can turn every bananas into a year old banana. And Derek, the before mentioned Derek, he comes into play, and he's a lab technician who pulls a gun on Ed and then pushes Janice, the most advanced botanist,
physicist, she's like
the prize pupil of that science planet. And by the way, Epsilon 2, we didn't mention, is the place for scientists.
Like, yeah, this where
is
all scientists go. Scientist playground was thrown around.
And if I was a scientist, I would absolutely want to play there.
Absolutely.
And Janice gets pushed right into the before mentioned temporal beam quantum bubble.
Yeah.
And Derek says, summon the Krill.
Yep. Tell the Krill to come down or whatever. Yep. And that's the first time we hear of the Krill.
Yeah, and you know what? We're gonna talk about the Krill right here, because the ships come in, and Ed's like, we need to, you know, get back to the Orville and say, you know, you need to attack. The ships for the Krill were awesome.
Yeah,
the destroyer ships are really cool.
Yeah, they looked like what was that? The big ship in Star Trek, one of the movies. I can't remember. But
was it from Beyond?
No.
Okay, because I got a lot of Beyond, Star Trek Beyond in this scene.
Maybe. Well, yeah, it kind of felt like that.
Well, the Krill...
Yeah, you know what did feel like? They even, well...
Well, they unload like stormtroopers.
Yeah.
Very militant, like kind of like our Rhino militants from Doctor Who. So they go in, they're very militant. Like, we find out that Molloy is going to hug the donkey, which is pretty much just riding around the base of the ship.
Yeah, hugging the ship.
Yeah, hugging the ship, so they blow, like, they fire on each other. And
but the ship can't, the bigger ship can't shoot the smaller ship because it's, like, clinging to it.
Yeah. And the crew, our crew, that's on Epsilon 2, is running through Science Playground, Science Wonderland, and they're locked at a door. And Alara showcases her superpowers.
Yeah, her super strength.
Yeah, and then the super jump.
Right, right.
She jumps completely over the Krill destroyers through while like, they, over a fountain.
While they run through the water.
Yeah.
Which has got to be your slowest option.
Yep, absolutely.
Like, they're just... They're shooting. The Krill are shooting. Alara jumps over everything. And there's these, like, in the fountains, there's pads.
Yep.
Run through the pads. Why are you going through the fountain?
Jump over them. Yeah. Or shoot her when she lands. Turn around. Aim your gun. They are stormtroopers because they didn't hit shit. They hit nothing.
Yeah, while the group is trudging through a fountain.
Yeah.
And they're shooting at them. They can't shoot these guys. They might as well be walking.
Crawling.
You can't run in knee-deep water.
No. They're just wading through a fountain to get to their ship while Alara does all the work. She really does.
Yeah.
But this is where I get the Star Trek Beyond kind of stuff because the Krill look like Krall from Star Trek Beyond.
I
look
got
just
it,
like Idris Elba's character.
Yeah, they kind of do now that you said that. And I was trying to figure because I watch that a lot actually.
Oh, well, because Idris is in it. Come on now.
Well, I always like the part Star Trek Beyond where they play Sabotage.
Yeah.
That's my favorite part. Probably of any movie in the past like 5 years. That's a great part.
That was a great part.
But I had them looking like kind of like the elves from Hellboy 2.
Okay.
Like they kind of... With the sharp teeth. But yeah, they did look like Idris Elba's.
Yeah, it's the cresting on the forehead that got me.
They're cool.
Yeah, they are
another
really
cool. Another
cool
alien. They got their mouths move when they talk, which in Aliens, you don't always get that since we've seen that a lot.
And we see that they understand English. They speak English. And they also speak Krillian, I'm going to call it. Because as they're running through all the destroyers, they're saying something in a native tongue, which is really cool. And then... They're getting out. They get on the ship, our Orville people. They get on a pod. They're driving away. They're talking about how they need to get back to their ship, but they don't know. And then there's a Krill behind them. And seatbelts, Tom, save lives.
Which, they break this check is them. Something that's always been brought up. And this is like how he's into deep cuts into the sci-fi genre. Because in Star Trek, they always said it is, why don't these... And that's why they put it in the new movies. Because why don't they have seatbelts?
Yeah.
These ships are getting into fights every goddamn day. And when it gets hit by something, you always see a guy fly out of his seat. Like, put a seatbelt on it. And that's why they had seatbelts on this, and they had one in the
The whole thing of brace yourself for impact.
Right.
Literally, you're just holding on to gears and buttons. You're holding on to a desk.
Yeah.
That desk is going to move.
We found out in 1975 that doesn't work.
Yeah.
You got to put a seatbelt on.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to be a space traveler. I want to wear a seatbelt so I can stay alive a little longer. But that's a little subliminal. Wear your seatbelts, kids.
Yeah.
Because what I noticed is this is a 12 plus show.
Oh, I didn't.
It had a rating on the man, 12 plus.
Yeah, all right, whatever.
Fit my demo.
It depends on the 12 year old.
Yeah, that's normally what I've been watching anyway, 12 plus shows. So the Orville has taken a ton of damage. The crew has faith in Molloy. Molloy does not have faith in himself.
Right.
And, you know, we got Bortus who says...
Bortus was the acting captain, and he pretty much did pretty good.
Yeah, he's emotionless.
Yeah.
He's another kind of Drax character. Very dry. He's the Spock. It takes a lot of damage, the Orville does, and the crew just want the ship. They're like, we want the device, get us the device, and... They're like, okay, we'll give you the device. But it's a rouge. They put a tree seed on top of it.
Right. Here's something I didn't get. Okay, this is part of when they went down to the science planet, just to show how advanced they are, they said, here's some seeds. And he's like, all right, great, it's a seed.
Yeah, the one, and you can eat them.
Yeah, they're super seeds that it's genetically bonded with tardigrade DNA because tardigrades are hot now, so they bring them in. And it can grow. It's a redwood that can grow in the desert, can grow underwater, mm-hmm. can grow anywhere, except apparently your stomach. It will not grow in your stomach.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, but literally everywhere else, but the guy eats it and it doesn't grow. So yeah. I didn't get that part. But I guess it says it takes 100 years to grow.
Well, it's kind of like if you eat a pumpkin seed. We're in the time of Halloween, fall, yeah. Pumpkin spice is back, Tom. And if you eat a pumpkin seed, one does not sprout vines from its belly.
But it's not spliced with tardigrade DNA.
But what if it was? You don't know what they're putting in those
but
pesticides.
But then I just thought now. Maybe the reason why a redwood wouldn't grow is because you'd eat it and then you just pass it.
Yeah.
You're not giving the redwood time to...
Yeah, you're not watering it.
Right.
You're not watering it for years. It's not just lining up on your walls.
Yeah, it's going somewhere.
Yeah, so the pod ship goes into the Krill Destroyer and we see Happy Arbor Day. No one else got the reference on the ship, by the way. Happy Arbor Day, a giant redwood grows through the quantum beam... through the entire right. ship, destroys the Krill ship.
They hot glued the seed to the top of the beam, so when they turned it on to test it to see if it worked, boom. And again, great effects of the ship blowing up.
Yeah, and the tree
and
growing.
And the inside of the ship was really cool. I really liked that part.
And it bears to mention that Kelly came up with this idea.
Yeah.
So she is the brains on the operation that we find out right now so far in the pilot. The Krill ship's destroyed. Seemingly, the quantum beam bubble destroyed. Is destroyed as well, so that threat is gone. Maybe we'll have a call back to it.
I'm guessing they'll be back, because they're pretty cool characters. It's a lot of time to waste on a character that's not going to come... Or a species that's not going to come back.
Who, the Krill?
Yeah.
I think the Krill are the main villain.
They're not in a war, it didn't seem, but...
This might start it.
They're hostile towards... Yeah, that might be...
That
might be where you get your bad news bears at, is they start a war...
Yeah.
With a previously just hostile.
Now, if they start the war, does the Federation back them? Or is it like you're on your own? Like, dude, you do your own thing. We'll figure it out. I know that the Admiral, so far, is only confirmed for one episode.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because, you know...
He's got other things to
do. He's got legends and all that stuff. But we get Kelly and Ed talking. Kelly's like, I'm going to leave. There's another position that opened up. You're going to get this guy. I'm going to go there. Ed wants Kelly to stay.
Yeah.
There's construction being done on the ship.
Well, yeah.
I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. They lost two engines, which looked cool, and then them getting fixed was cool.
Yeah, you never see that.
Yeah.
It's always like, oh, next time on
right.
Farscape, you know? It's just, it's like, no, we're going to fix it right now. It's like if someone throws up on the deck, or if our boy John Lamar, spills his soda, someone's got to clean it up. I like that everything kind of works its way in there. You see it's more of not just the main cast, but you see other characters as well. But then this is where it kind of leaves me. It goes back to the Admiral's office.
Yeah.
Kelly's there. Kelly says, thanks again for having trust in me. And then he's like, you know, me and your dad, blah, blah, blah. They're in cahoots, those two.
Well, she pushed for Ed to get the captain's job. So all of our speculation as to what her motives were, her motives were to get him a job to say, I guess, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, she never once, I mean, she did say, well, you were never there, blah, blah, blah. She never once said, hey, it was your fault.
But do you think it's going to be like, I got you the job, I'm sorry? Or is it like kind of like the American government where you got a clown that gets the office knowing that one day something's going to go bad, and you're the next one.
You're kind of setting yourself up to slip right in.
Yeah, so is Kelly the Mike Pence of the Orville?
I don't... Yeah, maybe.
Because I could totally see Ed screwing it up.
Well, maybe she... Yeah, maybe that was her prediction, is that he's so bad.
Yeah, he screwed up our marriage. He screws up on everything.
But that's a big gamble to take on her part, to get on a ship with a bad captain.
Yeah, but she knows him. They match perfectly. The data test went through. They matched. They, you know, eHarmony kind of linked them together. Match.com put them together. Their fate.
Captain First Officer eHarmony.
So you think it's an apology, an atonement. I think it's potential sabotage.
For now, I'm going to go with apology.
Okay.
But I am going to reserve, well, I could be wrong, and it could turn out like, because that would actually be a great story. And yeah. But that's what I'm saying is, even though this is supposed to be a comedic parody, it does have these kind of pretty cool storylines that have no comedy involved. This is not a comedy storyline.
No. And no, betrayal.
Very little of it was actually comedy, yeah. And not in a bad way.
No, it was just those the subtlety
yeah.
of the Family Guy-esque humor.
Well, that's where I think Jon Favreau was good in it. Like, yeah. He's good at that, throwing in some barbs here and there, making sure the comedy's subtle.
Yeah.
I don't know if, like, McFarlane wanted more, and then Jon Favreau was like, well, this is... You may be the producer, but if you want my name as a director, this is how it's going to be. Because yeah. Jon Favreau has always been good at, well, at least in the movies, at just subtle humor, not yeah. like overbearing.
Jon Favreau could have been like, listen, if you want my name on it, listen to my rules here, listen to my take, or you can get Josh Trank because he's not doing anything. I think he's been blacklisted from the Producers Guild. Who knows? You put one bad movie out, you find out where you stand. But we should do this every week. Not every week, every episode, we should highlight our points. Keep track on the journey of the Orville, see where we stand.
This is a nice, and we're coming up, we're getting Star Trek Discovery, and mm-hmm. we were just talking about
Stargate Origins.
Yeah, the Stargate Origins.
Inhumans, if you want to take the gamble.
Is it ever going to get better?
I saw the first two episodes. Not good.
I wouldn't mind tracking something. If we want to pick this to track, we could do that. Or maybe we could just...
We can track all three.
We can highlight a few. Well, yeah. Good, maybe a good, bad, and the ugly situation.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, we get a small sample of Stargate Origins. 10 minutes.
10 minutes episodes. It's kind of a silly thing.
Should just put it on YouTube.
Yeah, because I was thinking about... Oh, well, let's do an episode. And I was like, how long could we stretch a 10-minute episode
into
a podcast?
We'd honestly have to do the whole season at the end. And, we could eventually do that. But at this point, we have two sci-fi shows on Sunday at the same time about to take over the fall.
Yeah.
And the good thing is they started before superhero culture took over.
Right,
This is a month before, or a couple weeks before Flash and everything come back. So this could be a really good gamble. This could be really great for the people who... don't watch football, and they can go and watch the Orville.
Yeah.
It could be a really bad thing for the Orville because that 9 o'clock spot, anything on
See, that's
in the
why,
fall is really tough.
Maybe that's why he picked... I want to know how Sunday got into, like...
It's their comedy block hour.
Yeah, but he might have been able to pull other strings, but I'm wondering if he was like, I'll do Sunday, and this way, if... it's bad, I could lean on, well, there's no ratings because I'm against football.
Yep, that's right. I'm against football. I'm against The Walking Dead.
Right.
I could have seen this on a Friday.
It could have been a good show on a Friday.
Good way to end your week.
Yeah.
Start your weekend with some space comedy, some fan theories. I think. But we will cover this in all of our missions, I think. I think all this should be our...
We can come back to this. This is a good one.
Adventures in the Orville. Yeah. I'm usually... pessimistic when it comes to stuff like this, but I was leery going into this because it was a Seth MacFarlane production that I was like, I don't know, we talked about it. I didn't know if this was going to be something that I was really going to grab and like, I'm excited for tomorrow.
I'll compare it to this. I used to be leery of Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Because there's a few things I didn't like.
Yep.
But then every time he came out with a movie, I'd have to go, I hate Leonardo DiCaprio, except for...
Yeah.
And then my except for list got pretty big.
Yeah.
And I was like, wait, Leonardo DiCaprio is a really good actor. And I can't hate him because he does nothing but make great movies now. So that's kind of where I'm at is like, I got two except fors on Seth, and Family Guy, the original, 5-6 years of Family Guy is really good.
So, and their Star Wars episodes are phenomenal.
Yeah. So I have a big except for list, and it's Cosmos, it's this, original Family Guy, so maybe he's good.
Maybe we're just being a little biased just based off the show tunes, because you and I are not musical people. Who knows? And I was trying to watch this live. I was in Ireland. I wanted to watch it live. 4 channels in Ireland, none of them American. So if I wanted to watch BBC 1, 2, 3, and 4, and maybe a little show called Exposé, I could have watched it. But no Orville for me. I really didn't have good service, so I had to watch it. jet lagged the day I get back from Ireland, which is
which
awesome.
Is today, right?
Yeah, right now as we record it. Got back. I'm on like 18, 19 hours up. It's good. It's a good day. So let's find out where Mission 11 is. Hopefully not a Doctor Who episode, but who knows? Ooh, Babylon 5.
All right.
How many seasons of Babylon 5 do we have?
Not five.
Not five. So let's find out. Maybe like three?
I have never seen Babylon 5.
Ooh, you're not... Oh, this is going to be good. Neither have I.
And Babylon...
You know what? We already got season one.
Wow, it's five seasons.
Oh, ooh, we did get five. So Babylon 5, season five, or season one. How many episodes do we need?
22.
Oh, Jesus. Episode four.
Episode four, Infection.
So mission number 11, Babylon 5, season one, the very first season. Mission episode number four, Infection. So you'll find that next week. This will go up on Sunday as usual. Continue to watch The Orville every Sunday at 9 o'clock on Fox. And look back on our weekly recap on The Orville and then potentially Star Trek Discovery and Inhumans, Good, Bad, and the Ugly. We'll see you.
See ya.